This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Ben and Megan?
I feel it.
Yeah.
This is Furries, the Fiend Phone, Unnecessary Random Reeducation Emergency or Interruption Exigency System, or Furries. Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
It's very fuzzy.
Dobby was on the show like full interrupted.
Dobby was on the show like 9 days out of the past 7 days, and then he's on again this weekend. And I thought I was getting on later. I didn't look at my clock. You know, I stopped doing the weekend shows because I worked really hard, like Dobby, to not ever have to wake up into an alarm. But then I have my childhood dream of being on radio, and all of a sudden I'm waking up to alarms. But I sold the weekend show to Ben for a dollar, so now it's his show on the weekends, but I can interrupt. What's up, y'all?
Yo. It's in the contract, part of the user agreement.
It's part of the social contract of the dollar, yeah.
Hey, we haven't mentioned that Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, allowing reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org, BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and that's controlled by Fiendsian Economics.
Fiendsian Economics.
Worms.
Yeah, it's just a worm-based economy. So, Davi, MK, Ben.
Hey.
I talked to MK good. On the phone. I sound okay. I talked to MK on the phone the other night. She sounded like a sleepy cat. He was like,
I had just woken up.
He sounded like you just woke up. You're going like,
was I making those mouth noises? I hope not.
Yes, like a cat. Goodness. Oh, I don't know. That's how I pictured it, though. That's how you sounded like you'd sound.
Licking the back of her hand and rubbing her eyelashes.
Licking my paws.
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Isn't that how it's done?
I got all the hairballs out before I called you. So.
Oh, man. Good.
So
radio.
How's everyone doing?
I'm good.
Doing awesome.
Oh, I'm not dying. I'm not dead. I'm better.
Well, that's good.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. I'm on 3 kinds of steroids and none of them make your muscles big.
Oh, man. What were we talking about before we were so rudely interrupted by this radio show we've got to do?
Oh, I know. We were having a pretty good conversation.
Too busy talking to you, radio.
Who needs radio?
Weren't we talking about what the most ANCAP diet is?
Oh, that's right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's paleo?
A diet of worms.
Davi was talking about how we just don't hear from the Neanderthal representatives in the conversation.
A good diet of worms.
I know what the diet of worms is. I was on the original diet of worms episode.
We have an audience, Davi. You know I'm not just talking to you. Yes. That's how the fiends do radio.
So,
we just bug our own homes and forget we're broadcasting into space and on 30 stations. All right, I'll shut up.
There's this thing like more hardcore than the paleo diet, right? Like the paleo diet is not eating anything that like early man would have eaten. And then there's the Neanderthal diet. And the Neanderthal diet is like not eating and you couldn't have gathered or strangled with your own hands. So like milk and cheese are off the table because you're not going to like hunt a gazelle with a spear and then milk it for cheese. So you can really only eat the meat of the gazelle.
You could eat the milk. You could kill an animal and take the milk from its dead, warm, dead body.
I suppose you could technically. Although I don't think that they did.
Yeah, you do.
But my point was we need an email or a press release from someone from the Neanderthal rights community because I've never mentioned whether it's Neanderthal or Neanderthal.
It's Neanderthal.
And I'm worried that I'm offending. Well, you know, are you a Neanderthal? Do you understand the Neanderthal
no,
experience?
No, but I'm 1/12
your non-Neanderthal privilege.
I'm 1/12 German.
Yeah, check your Homo sapien privilege, Michael.
I do constantly.
Yeah. Oh, man. The show just started and we're out of control already.
Off the rails.
So the funny thing about the diet of worms is that neither word is what you think it is. I think it's actually pronounced the diet, and it meant like a decree, essentially. And then worms is a country or a town in Germany. And so the diet of worms was a decree made by the Holy Roman Empire in like 1500 something. I don't even remember what it was about. It was probably to behead somebody for witchcraft or I don't know. But
I think there should be an ANCAP diet, an anarcho-capitalist diet of you can only eat things that you should so on the spot. Like, you can't store any food or, you know. So basically, Davi would be fat and the rest of us would be starving to death, you know, because he always has buttons and silver to trade. And I would do okay for a
week. Yeah, an ANCAP diet would be nothing purchased with fiat, right?
Ah, yeah. There you go. Yeah, you have to trade hard metals or labor or sex or drugs.
Or no, no taxes involved. I only eat at food carts that take Bitcoin. I don't shop anywhere that takes fiat.
I remember that. And there are new Fiends buttons that Davi designed. And
if you had a diet of diet, you would be eating your buttons. Words.
So go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning point at the top of any point. You know, I was listening to Brian Sovereign the other day. You guys know him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian's great.
Yeah, and I was listening to his show on LRN.FM, which everyone should listen to almost every, except for 1 hour on the weekend when some guy's on. But the rest of the time, people should listen all the time. So I was listening to his show. Zomia Offline Games. I love the idea of it because this is kind of how the Fiends are. And I don't play video games. I don't care about games. But he was so excited about games. Like, it made me really happy. And
cool.
His Zomia Offline Games, and they are covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, which everything should be. So his whole thing is like, you know, he's been a gamer forever. And a lot of games, a lot of gaming environments, you have to be on the internet. Like, you buy a game, but then you can only play it online. Like, you can't play offline on your computer. Yeah. And he hates that idea. And I hate that idea, too. I believe that's why, like, I don't use cloud storage or anything. You know, I believe, like, I want to be able to access my media if the power goes down forever and I'm using solar cells to run computers, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to depend on, you know, and somebody not deleting it or changing their terms. It's just to pay for something, even if it's a digital thing. I want a physical copy of it. I want the software and the ability to run it entirely on my end. Now, the Fiends are kind of like that, too, because, like, we don't do a lot of YouTube stuff. You know, I mean, there are people that do Liberty things that they call podcasts that are YouTube only. That is not a podcast. Like, there's not even an RSS feed really for that. I mean, it's a vlog, yeah. So, like, you know, podcast to me is, like, it's downloaded automatically through RSS, and it's audio only, so you can consume it while doing other things. You can't really watch video.
Yeah, its home is an iPod. That's why it's called a podcast.
Or any player, or or your computer that's offline running on solar panels, you know. And the thing is, like, we don't spend any time really putting stuff on YouTube. We spend time putting stuff on torrents so they are available offline in perpetuity, and our fans help do that. And if you want to help do that, it's kind of like the SETI at Home project. Like, you know, we're searching for intelligent life in space by broadcasting into space and by having Evelyn, who will do it, go to the Freedom Fiend site, go to the Torrent Club link, and torrent and share all of our stuff so more people have it offline. That's the point. That's why we're going to be listening to it 100 years. And, you know, for Stefan Molyneux, they're going to be like, who? I think I've heard of that. I think the Fiends mentioned him once, you know. So we're going to be the ones listening to 100 years because we are the Freedom Fiends offline Liberty game show. We're the live game show. So
I don't know if you guys saw this, but Nima Vedadi coined the term Molly-nonymous for those quotes that may or may not be attributed to him, but you don't necessarily want to be quoting
him. Oh, I thought it's how you get off of addiction to him. You go to Molly-nonymous.
That's what I thought,
too. Oh, yeah. Maybe. No, this was like you put in like a insightful phrase about the state quoted by Molly Anonymous.
Yeah. Well, he is. I learned a great term this week that I'm trying to spread. It's a little known sociology term called borrowed authority. You guys heard this term?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's not that little known, but it's basically
you
like.
You can't lend what you don't have. Sorry. Go
well,
ahead.
It's people like a really good example would be the guy that does Jax Burko. What's his podcast?
Survival podcast.
Survival podcast.
Yeah, like, you know, basically he just read a bunch of stuff and then kind of regurgitates it and has some personality. And, like, there's nothing he said that's original. He's just regurgitating 20 other, you know, survivalist authors going back to the 70s and further.
But he has that really nice pukey voice.
Yeah, so, you know, you hear him and you're like, oh, he's an expert. But no, it's just, it's all borrowed authority. And Molyneux is not only all borrowed authority, like, he's never done anything original except taken credit for other people's stuff and made up new names for it. Like defooing.
Pretty much.
And, like, what's his thing about
DMR?
How DMRs. What does that stand for?
Dispute resolution.
DRO. No, Dispute resolution.
Yeah, which is
Rothbard
his name.
Came up with that.
Rothbard came up with that, but you know, Molyneux claims he came up with it and gave it a new name, and like he never even explains things. There are people who think he invented the non-aggression principle. That's how into borrowed authority and stolen authority he is. You know,
that's silly.
It's what? It's what?
That's silly.
I lost you. Yeah, it is.
Hello, worms.
Yeah, apparently we're here. Diet of worms. So what? Think. What do you guys think?
Noms.
I think so.
Noms. Nom nom.
I agree.
Yes, I concur. Well, thank you.
That reminds. There's.
Thank you, my yes men and women. I'm come on, disagree with me here a little bit.
There's a spot in the movie "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" where one of the guys says to the other, great "Who do you think you are? Who elected you as our authority, or who elected you as our boss?" And the other guy says, "Well, all right, let's have an election. I vote for me as our leader." And the other guy says, "Well, I vote for yours truly as our leader." And the other guy says, "Well, I'm with you, boys." And that's it. That was their vote. They all three vote for themselves, and then they go back to what they were doing.
Is that the scene where they practice true democracy and run the guy out of town on the rail?
No, but that's a good one, too.
And then probably kill him. Yeah. Kill him in the parking lot.
Oh, man.
For being racist. Yeah. Well, not just for being racist, but for being racist backed by the state, which is something, which is a railable offense, I think.
Yeah. And most racism in history has been backed by a government in one form or another. It's a useful tool for them.
Like Cat Stevens saying that, you know, yeah, he would personally kill Salman Rushdie if an Islamic state told him to do it.
Ugh.
Man, that hippie was such a statist. I know.
Crazy.
You.
Amazing. Crazy.
Statist.
Well, so I came across this interesting article about, have you guys heard of this thing called man-spreading?
I have, yeah.
On the subway.
Can you
so this is kind of
radio?
One of those... Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
So it doesn't mean like sandwich guys. Spread.
No.
We'll be back after this trip to the sandwich spread market. Hear more about man spreading from Megan.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. 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 Friends.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
No, look. I want to see them.
No pictures, it didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm asking for naked pictures. No, I want pictures of Ben's gunshot wounds. Yeah.
If I can get them without including the pictures of my stomach, that would work.
It won't work. It's going to be old man belly no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, most likely.
I'll dig it.
Yeah. Oh, man. The one on my hand, I can.
So we're going to pay off man spreading?
Oh, yeah. That we were talking about that before the commercial.
Man spreading.
That really sounds
MK,
not...
I think this is your story, right?
It sounds not radio
I want the Westboro
friendly.
Baptist Church to find out who we are and get upset about us.
it's not subway friendly, this man-spreading phenomenon. Okay, so man-spreading. What is man-spreading? It is when a guy is sitting on some public transit or just, you know, somewhere, taking up space with his legs. And it's kind of like a rude thing to do. Like, it's not the most... As far as social etiquette goes, best thing ever, but it shouldn't be illegal, right? Like, it shouldn't be something where we should be arresting people over, but they've started to do that in New York City.
For what?
So the NYPD...
I miss
sitting with your legs agape.
Sitting with your legs agape, as many men do.
Well, wearing like, no underwear and a kilt, or
no,
wearing
just,
pants?
No, just pants. Just pants. Just wearing
there.
Pants.
Yeah, just taking up too much room on the subway.
This is something, this is something that, like, some radical feminists complain about, and they say it's a microaggression, which is kind of ridiculous, and they're saying, oh, this is terrible, they're taking up space, and it's rude. And so there were already people saying
it was,
people should be arrested
I didn't think it was about taking
this.
Up space. I thought it was about exploiting male privilege because it's considered unladylike to sit that way. Is it really about taking up space?
Well, I guess it depends on who you ask, but that's what I've always thought it was. Yeah, it's just guys who take up a lot of space and...
guys take up a lot of space. The government needs to get rid of them.
The government should stop this. Well, it is such a crazy thing because, like, radical feminists have been like, oh, there ought to be a law. There ought to be a law. So, yeah, now people are being arrested. And guess who were the first two people who were targeted? It was two
Cheech
Latino
and
men.
Penn and Teller?
No. But this is like, we were talking about in the last segment, the racism enforced by the state, and NYPD has a notorious reputation for being a really racist police department.
Let me interject.
And so who do they think this is going to target?
Yeah,
I'm just saying, when you pass this...
It's New York City.
Yeah, I mean...
So if a woman is sitting on the subway and she puts her purse on the seat next to her, is that woman spreading?
Well, like, it should be, right? You know, it's personal.
Because it's the same offense. If it's about space, and certainly it is a female privilege to carry a purse. Men are teased for carrying purses, so...
My wife carries a gun in her purse. She has one of those concealed carry, like, what are they called? You know the ones, MK, that's like...
Yeah,
it's got
the concealed carry purses.
It's got like extra... a kind of... Like a VJJ in the side that your Glock fits in.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yes.
That you can slide your hand into from the outside.
Yep. Yep. Holds it safe.
That's cool.
Yeah. Davi should make those for knives.
Yeah. Make VJJs for knives?
VJJ purses for knives.
And call it that. VJJ purses for knives.
Yeah.
VJJ purse. A puss. Well, my wife calls her purse her puss anyway.
Like a cat.
We call it a puss.
Like a cat.
Yeah, like a cat. So it's about the size of a cat, a purse, a big cat. So, yeah. Here's why I don't care about feminism, radical feminism, or otherwise, or any of that crap, or any of the, like, things that are oppressing and everyone's demanding all their rights and black rights and gay rights and, you know, all the rights. Here's why I don't care about any of that. It consolidates it to just basically go after the state. Because without the state, none of that has any power.
Yeah.
Without the state... Radical feminists who want to, you know, fine men for taking up space and breathing, all they would be is annoying. And you wouldn't even have to be annoyed by them because you'd have private property and no public property. And you'd just say, get off my property, you know, and if they tried to occupy it, you could shoot them for treading in your garden and picking your flowers.
Right. Well,
there you go.
Well, and this is why
that's a Cantwell reference, ladies. I don't really want to shoot you.
So there would be two private subways: one that bans men for man spreading, and one that shoots feminists on site. Right.
And we would call that utopian Las Vegas.
Yeah. You know, I've been chatting with that lady Diana who does the feminism LOL channel.
Yeah.
And I turned her on to your discussion, MK, with the Greens, and she kind of liked some of the language you used. I can't say any of it on the radio, but she liked it. Yeah.
Saucier podcast.
It was saucy.
It was pretty saucy. Yeah. Well, yeah, I like a lot of her videos too. And I think with feminism, at least what I have to keep in mind with it is it's unfortunate that the good intentions of it have been ruined by the more radical elements. Because there are different types of feminism, just like there are different types of libertarianism and anything else. And it's not these kind of crazy people want to pass laws to stop men from spreading.
Yeah. It's all about the state, people.
Yep.
Ignore the state and everything else goes away. It's bad.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Oh, this isn't a button order. This is just a donation. Okay, I feel better.
Can you ship donations to the Netherlands for...
No, but I could ship him the artwork and he could print his own buttons. I could email it to him.
There you go. That might be cheaper and faster, depending on who he knows.
Pretty soon, that'll be everything. People will be like, what? Wait, you're mailing things through the mail? Why aren't you just sending 3D printer files, man. That's ridiculous. Have you seen did you get the James Babb? Anybody else have the James Babb Freedom Fiends refrigerator worms magnet?
I saw that.
I don't have one, but I've seen it.
It's cool. They are so cool.
And that's literally something you can download and print on your home computer, on your 3D printer. I mean,
and what anarchist doesn't have a home?
Replicated in your own garage.
Ben?
Right.
Ben, what?
What anarchist doesn't have? Yeah. What anarchist doesn't have a 3D printer?
Well, that should be true. That'll be true. I mean, I think the 3D printers are where printers were in about, like laser printers were in about 1996. I had a laser printer in 1996, but it cost me like $400. It used really expensive ink. It broke down all the time, and it wasn't very high res.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where 3D printers are now. You know, in 5 years, better, they're going to be, faster. They're going to be like, well, here's a better example. Think about how much a DVD burner was, a CD burner. Okay. In 1995, my buddy bought a CD burner for $1,000. It was like the size of a rack mount piece of stereo equipment. It failed about half the time. Blank CDs were like $5. And half the time they didn't even work. And now like CD, if you can buy a CD burner at all, because most computers don't have them because people are like, physical media, what's that?
Because most computers don't read them anymore.
Right. I bought one because I got a really nice laptop from somebody almost free that does not have one, and I needed it to install some software. And I bought a CD burner and player, USB, external drive. It was like $11 plus $4 shipping, you know? And it works every time, and the blanks are 20 cents each, so there. So 3D printers in 5 years, everyone's going to have one, or their roommate will have one.
The revolution will be 3D worms. Printed.
Yes.
Yeah,
is that a bumper sticker?
Try to regulate that once
the Davi, that should be a t-shirt. Davi, I'm doing what
no,
I do
No, it should
best,
be a 3D printed magnet. What is wrong with you people?
Yeah, right. It needs to be 3D printed.
That's true. You're right. That's very meta. So between the three of us, we just built a meme, you know. MK said it. Right. MK said it, and I did what I often do, which is people who I know who say brilliant things and don't notice, I'm like, that's brilliant, should be on a t-shirt. And then Davi, the t-shirt maker, said, "No. It should be a magnet." And really, James Babb, obviously, one of our hosts, has a 3D printer. James Babb, build that, please.
Yeah, right.
Build that and sell
send
it at Porkfest.
Send it to manufacturing.
Keep the money. Send that to manufacturing. So we've just streamlined the process. Like, think about in the old brick and mortar economy. Like, you know, R&D would spend a year coming up with something. The advertising people would come up with a slogan.
We would have to focus group the slogan.
Focus group
the slogan. That's what
we'd have to do. Yeah, we just streamlined it. Basically, it was under 3 minutes from inception to shipping off to manufacturing.
Plus, we'd all have to fly to New York and get a hotel room and meet in some, you know, conference room.
Some orgy. I'll bring flowers to the orgy because I'm romantic.
So build that. We were going to talk about a couple articles. Do we want to try to go for those, or we want to just keep being irrelevant and having fun?
Down for whatever.
I don't know. The articles might be irrelevant. Fun.
Speak up, MK, like you're on radio.
What up, Ben? Give me an article. Give me a headline.
Give me an article. You guys do the articles, and I'll interrupt it and keep
there
it fun.
There you go.
That sounds about right.
Speak up, MK, like you're on radio, please.
So one of the articles was actually written by Megan. It was called, "When Do You Break People Out of Prison?"
Ugh. Yeah, you know, I gotta say, the fiends are getting closer and closer to, I'm gonna put a disclaimer at the beginning of everything. It really started with MK and Ben and James Babb the other day, and that was a great show. And there was something Ben said in that I almost censored for the podcast archive, but didn't. And I just really want the FBI to know I had nothing to do with that show. It was all Ben and MK and James. You guys are making me nervous. Your truth is making me nervous. Oh, Ben was basically saying, well, if you're going to break into FBI field offices, you really need to have an exit strategy. I think that's pretty much the line. And I was like, I heard that on the radio, and I was like, ugh.
Come that on, doesn't Ben. Sound controversial at all. If you're going to break into anywhere, you should have an exit strategy.
Right. I thought it was reasonable.
You got to understand how to do dog whistle radio. You need to learn how to do dog whistle radio.
Are you calling FBI agents dogs, Michael?
Yes. No, I'm calling on listeners. Our listeners are good dogs. Here's how I learned it. Like I learned it from the book, Steal This Book by Abby Hoffman, which I read 10 years before two of you were born, and I stole it. I stole that book.
Rightfully so.
Abbie Hoffman was constantly being arrested for basically free speech, but it would have been worse if he hadn't used dog whistles. Now, dog whistles are when you say something, but you don't come out and say it. You kind of poke around it in a way that the right people know exactly what you're saying, and the people that can harm you for saying it, you still have an option of saying, I didn't really say what you think I said. Look at it. And they're like, okay, you're right. A really good example of Abbie Hoffman's dog whistling. Like, here's examples of it. Like, he would say things like, we don't recommend that you ever steal anything, but buy this book on Lost to learn how to keep people from shoplifting, then read the book backwards.
That's how I used to shoplift.
Yeah.
No, for real. Like, when I worked in retail, those, like, loss prevention videos that you were supposed to sit through, and I'm like, okay, so it says, don't accuse anybody of stealing, offer customer service, because a thief never wants customer service. And so I was like, oh, okay, so I want to steal. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go up to an employee and ask for customer service. And I would say to him, hey, tell me, do you show it to me? And I would ask for something I knew was on the other side of the store, and he would lead me there, and then while I was walking behind him, I would be pocketing things.
Yeah.
And you're not all admitting that. To that over the radio.
You wouldn't do that now. Abbie Hoffman actually helped prevent a drug law from being passed with the most bizarre, like, boy, did you really even say that line I've ever heard. In his book, Revolution for the Hell of It, he talked about New York State Governor Rockefeller at the time, who wanted to pass a law that if you sold any amount of drugs to a minor, it'd be minimum life in prison without parole. Like, minimum and maximum.
Oh,
like,
that seems reasonable.
That would be the result. So Abbie Hoffman in this book said, if this law passes, here's what I suggest. When you're selling drugs to a minor, if you believe he is a cop or will turn you into the cops, pull out your gun and shoot him in the head. You will get about 20 years in prison for shooting him in the head and murdering him. You'll get about 10 years in prison for possession of the drugs. You'll get about 5 years in prison for the possession of pot of the handgun. That's 35 years in prison. You'll be eligible for parole in 17 and a half. You won't serve life in prison. So he did this total, like, unbelievable, like, shoot children for, you know, like, for fun and profit statement. And it actually helped that law from being passed because it got so much press. The government actually for a second, like, considered the chance of unintended consequences.
What was that book that was written like way back?
Don't shoot children.
That book was written like in 1802 or something by Thomas Paine, I think.
Modest Proposal.
Yeah,
he was making a modest proposal.
Yeah,
that's the book that was like basically saying there's a problem with unwanted children.
Feed the homeless to the hungry.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he gave, you know,
poor children.
Irish babies are particularly tasty. Catholics. Yeah, the ones that breed like rats and then can't feed them.
And that's
cannibals prefer vegetarian cooking.
We're not slamming the Irish. We're talking about Thomas Paine's book.
I'm Irish. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
When was the last time radio sounded like this?
This is the last time radio will sound like this. This is probably what's going to get us kicked off here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, your point about Abbie Hoffman, I don't think this article is too extreme. I mean, that's why it's a question, not like, I don't say you should break people out of prison. I just ask the question, when?
Well, like Davi asked the question, when did you shoot Chris Cantwell?
Right. And,
yeah. It's a question we should all ask ourselves.
What, Davi?
Yes.
It's a question we should all ask ourselves and come to a reasonable and legal conclusion.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, my problem with dog whistles, though, I tried that a lot on my podcast, and nobody got it. I mean, you know, out of like 2,000 downloads, there would be like two people, it seemed like, that got it. And I would get like 70 emails like, what? What do you mean? Do you mean what? And
well,
I would spend hours trying to explain.
But you
got
to remember that not everybody that gets something from a podcast writes a letter. I listen to stuff all the time that I don't send any response to the people who made it, even if I love it.
That's true.
Although sometimes I do. I send fan letters once in a while.
And I did get a...
Not everybody can hear a dog whistle. That's the point.
Yeah, man. That's the point.
I did get an email right at the end, or maybe close to the end of the series that I did on Beyond Civil Disobedience. I got... several emails, but one really stands out. It came from England, and it had the most scary statements that I've ever gotten in. Close to the most scary statements I've ever gotten in an email, saying, "We're with you. We want to do this now." And I was like, "I'm not even answering that. I'm deleting
it."
Yeah,
I know.
Not acknowledging that I even received that.
Yeah,
right. That is freaky.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
Worms.
So
what's the conclusion? When should you break someone out of prison?
What next? We're here. It's just basically posing the question, when do you do this, and giving examples of how it was done in the I did with Ben and Jim, we talked about Asada Shakur, for example. She was broken out of prison and is still a free woman, mostly free, down in Cuba.
Isn't it funny how these days, like, if you're an American, the only thing that can keep you safe from the federal government is living in a communist country or a former communist country?
Snowden.
Like, Edward Snowden's in Russia, she's in Cuba. I guess that's the only use for a state. I mean, I think there's really only two uses for a state. One is, you know, if you just can't take it anymore and kill yourself, like, they'll come over and take your body away. So that's
big cleanup.
That's one use for this. The cleaning up, they're good for that. And although they'll probably bill your family for it. And then the other is hiding from other states or protecting you from other states. Although I don't trust them to do that in perpetuity. I don't trust that. Well, I was going to say that the next emperor of Russia, the next president of Russia, won't just hand Snowden over to the, but it could be this president. You know, it depends how it would serve his, you know, Putin. Putin's no lover of liberty.
No, not at all.
No, he's pretty ruthless. And, I do wonder about Edward Snowden and hope that he can stay out of the grasp of the U.S. government for as long as possible. And any other one that would try to imprison him for doing the right thing. You know, it's unfortunate that we've already lost, you know, Chelsea Manning to prison or recently Ross Ulbricht, too.
You know, I saw a great post. Somebody, one of my friends on Twitter, you know, acquaintances on Twitter, she posted, it said, "My friend said, why are you look so sad today? What's wrong?" I said, "Because Ross Ulbricht just got sentenced to life in prison." My friend said, "Who's Ross Ulbricht?"
Yeah.
And then it was like frowny face. Like that's kind of that. He just summed it up to me.
Yeah.
Let's explain.
Apparently,
who he is.
NPR is still reporting that he like tried to kill somebody.
He did not.
Right.
We should tell who he is.
I know
is
he didn't, but this is what NPR is saying. Know. Worms.
NPR is a voice of the state, really.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Meow, 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 meow.
Freedom.
Meow.
Freedom fiends.
Kitties.
So
Dobby, what happened with your friend?
Yeah, so get this. I have this friend who is, he's in college and he's trying to start a club, like a decriminalization club. And so he's writing these sort of like policy papers of like what he think public policy should be around the drug war and marijuana.
Now, I just
got
to even jump in and interrupt there for a second. When you said decriminalization, like I would say that too, like without explaining you're talking about the drug war. And most people would, but why does decriminalization just have to be about pot? Why can't it be about everything? Like, why don't people have legalize everything clubs?
Yeah.
They could. Why not? So I think his, His position, if you were to like ask him personally, would be to like decriminalize everything. But he's also trying to like build these coalitions with all the other college groups and like appeal to their prejudices with his arguments as to why certain things should be decriminalized. And so his policy papers all read about like the inherent racism of various drug prohibitions and the disparate impact and the escalance and the all the unintentional perverse incentives of prohibiting substances. And I'm like, why isn't It's My Body one of your arguments? Like, that doesn't appear anywhere in any of your policy papers. But what was interesting to him, so he's still kind of a statist. He's like a minarchist socialist, right? But he was talking about how, first off, in his arguing, prohibition leads to a degradation of the quality because people will cut it with things to profit more, and there's no competition, so there's no purity. But then in his policy recommendations, he's saying, and we need to regulate the quality of these things. And I'm like, no, you've just said criminalization diminished the quality. If you decriminalize and you let the market handle the quality, the market would purify its product because that's what customers want, right?
Yep.
Right. And I forgot where I was going with this. There was
I was trying to save you there. So somebody just posted complaining about the Fiends, said, that awkward moment when you're listening to a smart, well-thought-out answer and you only get worms.
We're a philosophy show? I think he's thinking of Molly Who.
I know. Molly Who. Yeah. You know, that kind of reminds me of when Jon Stewart was on Crossfire, whatever it is, with Tucker Carlson. Like, with the right-wing guy and the left-wing guy. And like,
so good.
They were complaining to Stewart, like, you need to take more social, you know, you need to have more responsibility with what you say to your audience. You influence young people and you're a philosophy show and you need to blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't philosophy, but it was something like a news show. And he's like, news show? Have you seen our show? We come on after a show where talking puppets make crank phone calls, which was when they were on after Crank.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's like philosophy show.
Wow. Oh, I remember where I was going. So I was trying to talk to this guy about the Silk Road and like that the Silk Road is proof of the free market increasing purity, reducing violence, increasing customer satisfaction, reducing overdoses. And I was like, you've heard of Ross Ulbricht, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, I just heard this thing on NPR like earlier today that says that he like that he's trying to kill people. That's what he said. That's what NPR said. And I'm like, no, that is not true. That was part of an indictment that was redacted later. He was never charged with that. And he's like, well, I heard this on NPR. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm personal friends with his mom. So like, I have some idea what's going on in the case. Okay.
Like, yeah.
It's not an appeal to authority. That's an appeal to a mom. Deal with it.
Right.
I know. No, but like, this is the point. Like, this is still the narrative.
She is.
She is.
Yeah, although, go to freeross.org really and donate vibing. Everything you own. That's
take the money you were going to send to Freedom Fiends and send it to her. And, you know, I've met her, too, and she's a great lady, and I believe her, and I believe that Ross Ulbricht did not try to kill anybody, and I believe that that was something the government made up to try to, like, make the libertarians not like him. But
well, they redacted it. It's no longer part of the indictment. It's not part of the charge, but it's still in the media. It's still the narrative.
I got to say, it'd be pretty easy for him to come back and say, so your argument is a mother says, my son is a good boy.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Appeal to mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is.
Well, so one thing I would say is, obviously,
well, he's appealing to National Socialist Radio, so what do you want?
And NPR.
Right.
Yeah.
NPR.
Yeah.
Well, so the government set him up in this situation, and it looks like entrapment, although they probably aren't going to call it that. But I do think it was a situation he probably would have had to consider at some point during the Silk Roads operation, and that may not be like a really popular thing to say around anarchists and libertarians about him, but I do think he would have had to come to that decision at some point, even if government agents weren't involved. What do you guys think?
Thought-provoking.
Are we kidding?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's not try to rush the answer on this one.
Yeah. No, not at all. Don't rush. We'll pick it up when we come back.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon. Lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LivePair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Cool.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Going great.
So we're an hour
to MK. I've got... Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael, Davi, Ben.
Yeah.
I'm here.
So you asked me at the end of the hour one whether or not it was inevitable, even though he didn't, was it inevitable that the Silk Road would eventually have to deal with violent crime or violent defense?
Violent
or,
governments.
Can you rephrase the question?
Yeah. Can you rephrase the question in the form of a question we can understand, please? Thank you. And remember, it's been like 10 minutes since you posed it. People don't even, like, there's stations we're on right now that didn't play the first hour. So yeah,
they're all playing Angry Birds now, so they need to
Let's start from the question for people, explain to me like I'm an idiot. I mean, a child. I mean, a statist.
All right, so this is an uncomfortable question to ask about Silk Road and Ross Ulbricht, and that is, were Silk Road to continue operating and say the government didn't infiltrate it, which, you know, let's just say that happened, do you think that he would have had to come to a decision to use violence against people who were maybe going to snitch on Silk Road or something to that extent? Do you think that he would have had to consider an assassination or some kind of physical force to prevent someone from compromising?
Let me ask, put in an asterisk here that'll help me answer that question. So that whole exchange that was supposedly with the Hell's Angels that were buying drugs from him, remember that? That got leaked somewhere?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Was it Hell's Angels?
Or yes.
Was it, it was specifically Hell's Angels?
It was a government agent posing as a
Hell's
Angel.
Yeah.
That's my question.
Yes.
And was that actually talking with him?
That's what they're saying now. That's what they're claiming. But there has been some speculation that these same people who were posing as these Hell's Angels agents were actually had gotten into an admin access of the site and maybe were able to alter some of the chat logs. And this is something that maybe Ross wouldn't have known about or Dread Pirate Roberts wouldn't have known about. But that's still, they're still waiting for more evidence to come out. A lot of this is kind of sealed and they weren't even able to use any of this in the defense at the original trial. So it's really, it's a weird question to ask because obviously the government infiltrated and caused this murder for hire scenario that he's not, you know, that he's basically known for. When people mention it, people are like, oh, that guy killed a guy, even though that's not the correct narrative.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, there's so many.
It was definitely
nobody
at all.
There's so many.
And nobody died.
There are
nobody
so many government. There are so many government produced situations in history, in recent history, in my life, where the thing people remember is the lie made up by the government.
Right.
Like a really good example, if you ask most Americans about Waco or Ruby Ridge, if they've heard of it, they're like, oh, that's where the government had to go in with military force because those people were so horrible and they were raping children. Or they were the guy was holding his wife hostage and shot his dog. No, none of that's true. And, you know, that's the government made up stuff or let stuff like that spread to the point where that's what most people remember about those situations.
That's what people think with a lot of other situations, too, where the FBI got some guy at the mosque who was having financial problems and maybe wasn't that bright, convinced him that he needed to be
the
a bomber.
The guy in the mosque, as Will Coley may have said.
Yeah. And then they provide him with training. They provide him with the material. They give him money to live on while he's doing this. Then they give give him a vehicle that he drives to the location where they then arrest him and take credit for the whole thing. And that's typical operation.
And they also sabotage any of his attempts to get away. I don't know if you guys have noticed that about these Patsy stories.
Yes.
But
yeah, one of the guys
like
wanted
if he tries to, opt out, they sabotage all his other options.
Yeah, that actually happened with a guy who decided he didn't want involved in violence. He wanted to go to Alaska and get a job as a fisherman or something, or a lumberjack or something. And they literally went and got a hold of his potential employers and said, don't hire this guy.
I said, hey, we're the FBI, and we think you should do things our way, okay?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So there was going to be some discussion of when people should break out of prison, which we're not recommending, but do you want to go back to that?
I think that's the same question. So my answer to this the Silk Road thing is, if it's not inevitable in the Silk Road, it's inevitable in the world. Same as the prison point, that's going to come to a head.
Well, you know, in Mexico, the cartels break people out of prison or kill witnesses in mind-blowing ways that have not yet much happened in America, like they pull up on a rural police station with 30 cops in there and, you know, 15 prisoners, like some holding cell prison somewhere where someone's going to be transferred to a real prison. And they pull up with like homemade tanks and like people that were hired from the military and just shoot everybody in the prison except the one guy they're breaking out. And they just use explosives to get into the building. That happens all the time. And we're not recommending that. We're not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying, though, that I think that's inevitable, that like, I think that the lawlessness that is supposedly widespread in other countries is going to come to America, and not just for heinous things, but also like to protect people from nanny crimes. Like something more and more that's really freaking police out is crowds of people blocking police from arresting people for nanny crimes. And the people doing the blocking are not criminals and they're not anarchists. They're just people in the neighborhood that are like, there's video recently of, where was it? It's some like 14-year-old black girl, and the cops try to arrest her for nothing in broad daylight in front of like 40 witnesses, and like 20 of the witnesses like come get physically between the cops and her, and like none of them are armed. They just won't let the cops take this girl out of the neighborhood, and they chase the cops out. The cops are armed. The citizens aren't. There are just so many of them that the cops aren't going to risk, like, you know, okay, if we try to take her anyway, these people are going to grab our gun and choke us and murder us probably. Or I don't know what they're thinking, but they it's happening, and it's getting news, and it's like cops everywhere are terrified of this. Cops are really terrified. The thing that's really terrifying to cops, and it's inevitable with the fact that everyone has a cell phone in their pocket, is more and more like normal people who've never been criminals and have never been against about politics are like adamantly anti-cop, where they used to be like, oh, well, you know, the police are a necessary evil to protect us. They're basically just realizing
they're
just
a spoiled apple cart. Cut them some slack.
Yeah, man.
Right. Well, this it needs to happen on some level when you've put up with the kind of harassment from the police so often, and especially in a lot of these neighborhoods where this is happening. You know, people grew up their entire lives seeing their friends and their family being arrested by cops for nothing. And at some point, people are going to get frustrated and push back. And, you know, you don't have to have any kind of political affiliation to do that. You just need a basic understanding of right and wrong. And, you know, these people shouldn't be arrested for crimes that aren't hurting anyone. So I think that's great. I think more people should pull people away from cops. You know, if they've been engaged in, you know, no crime whatsoever and the cops are trying to arrest them, then I think that's great. And the cops aren't being injured in this. It isn't like, you know, these mobs of people are pulling guns on the cops and, you know, threatening their lives. They're just pulling people away.
You know, another technique.
I mean, the uncomfortable.
That's saving a life.
Go ahead, Dobby.
Go ahead.
Go ahead,
Dobby. I'll play traffic cop. Go ahead,
Dobby. The point of these questions and the reason they're uncomfortable, and this goes for when do you break someone out of prison, when do you shoot a cop, and when do you shoot Chris Cantwell, is that even though the time is not now, the answer is not never, right? Like,
well,
you can't
answer
never.
You know, there's a lot I don't like about who's the guy that Cantwell stole his whole shtick from, who's been around forever?
Andy Kaufman?
No. No, the guy who was the ANCAP who wrote the books about tax dodging. Rose, Larkin Rose.
Larkin Rose.
So, like, there's some things I don't like about Larkin Rose, but he's kind of solid with some other things, and he was doing this before anybody. And basically, he's the guy that wrote the thing called When Should You Shoot a Cop? And then Cantwell, who no one had heard of, took it further and basically said, now, you know, like, not when they are about to arrest you, now, you know, Cantwell's, and, like, that was Cantwell's like beginning and end of his 15 minutes of fame, and that was years ago. So,
yeah.
But the thing that Larkin wrote, like the conclusion,
it's the 3-year anniversary of his 15 minutes of fame
being up. Yeah. So the thing that Larkin, that, you know, that whole thing boils down to, like, basically, you know, okay, like the example of, you know, when should the Jews have shot the Nazis, you know, and it's basically sometime between, and when is it ethical? You know, it's probably not ethical when they first take power before they've shot anybody, but by the time they've rounded everybody up into the camps, it's far too late. So his answer is basically, you know, sometime between when they first take power and when they round you up to the cattle car. That's the answer to when to shoot the authority, you know, who's going to kill you.
And basically, I, you know, make a similar case in my article, and I kind of end it with, you know, as technology provides us these tools for liberation, it becomes less of a question of why or how these prison breaks will happen and more of a question of when and who. So
I think the go ahead. I want to talk about Tim Leary, but go ahead.
Oh, well, Tim Leary, that's going to have to. Is that how security has gotten much better?
The funny thing, you know, though, about how Timothy Leary broke out of prison was part of it, or was broken out of prison, was part of it involved. And we're not talking about that anybody should do any of this stuff right now or whenever, but it's like, and it's also, we're talking about people who are in prison for things where there's no victim, like things that shouldn't be in prison for, you know, like free speech in Tim Leary's case. But, you know, I mean, it was basically having a really tiny amount of pot and they wanted to bust him for something. So the Tim Leary thing was part of how he got broken out of prison was that he got himself put in a minimum security prison instead of a maximum security prison. And the way he did that was he gamed the psychological test that California prisons gave to new inmates back then when they would decide where to put them. And the way he was able to game it was he'd been consulted to help write the test. And he knew the questions, and he knew which questions would have which answers on it. Because he was a prominent Harvard psychologist, you know, who was like, consulted on things like that before he became an.
I tried to do this with the Scientology personality test. I tried to figure out what I wanted to know. What happens if you go to their like seminar and you take the personality test, and the personality test says nothing's wrong with you? Do they still try and pitch you on some seminar? And I discovered you can't game that test. There are no right answers.
I know a guy who claims he took that test and was completely honest on it. And they said, like, you're the first person we've ever had that we just can't do anything with. Have a good day.
It was
this guy, Kurt Lahovic, who I used to know in San Francisco, who I met at a poetry reading. He died a few years ago at age 93, but I used to hang out with him and go out to dinner with him when I was, you know, 40 and he was 85 or 83 or something. This guy was, put it this way, this guy made some claims that were so bizarre, no one believed them until I found out they were true. One of the things he told me the first time I met him in a poetry reading was, he said, yeah, I helped invent the integrated circuit and I was paid $1 for doing it. And I was like, you're a crazy old man at a poetry reading. I looked it up and he did. He was like brought over under Operation Paperclip. He was not a Nazi, but he was brought from the Czech Republic. Look him up, Kurt Lahovic. He's got a page on Wikipedia, and I took the picture that's on there. It's like the only known picture of him.
Worms. Maybe they changed the test.
Worms. Yeah, after him. Because of him. He Lahovic'd them.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
It hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com. Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow. Meow.
Freedom Fiends. So, what's going on?
You know, I just realized there is a Bipcot, a Freedom Fiends, and a Fiend Phone logo on the metal lift, so maybe I should have asked Michael before I did that.
That's kind of the point of having Bipcot no gov is that you can do it without permission, though, as long as you give credit, right?
But whatever.
Did we lose Michael?
Yeah.
Is he still there?
Fair enough. I don't know. So for those that don't know, the Metalith is a vending machine we're going to have at Porkfest this year that I think it's going to be equipped to take Bitcoin, which is kind of what makes it exciting, but it's also going to be filled with like practical things that you might need on a camping trip, like if you need lighters or matches or
raincoats?
I don't know, maybe cigarettes or condoms. Who knows? Yeah, ponchos. I was looking for ponchos. I'm hoping we'd get that in there.
I was going to take a bunch of ponchos to Porkfest a couple of years ago, and I couldn't find cheap little ponchos in bulk that didn't have some stupid corporate logo on them.
Mm. It was I know people have sold them in the past.
I got to say, I like the Metalith. Did you happen to see the Fiend t-shirt that someone made in London, Davi, that was a guy... Macho Libertarian Flasher selling things inside his jacket.
Oh.
I think you might have seen it and been subconsciously influenced by it. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
All right. Worms, go on.
So the reason he's talking about a Macho Libertarian Flasher is because on the Metalith, I did the art for the skin of the machine. I'm doing the clean all the things or ban all the things meme, which is apparently a woman. Who knew? I put...
We have the documents.
We have the documents.
We do have the documents.
I put her in a trench coat, and so she's like opening the trench coat, and it's like all full of things that she's selling. And it says, "Sell all the things for all the money."
And Dobby thinks that he invented this, and we share everything. We can share
parallel evolution. You know, it's entirely
we can share the women. We can share the wine. We better share your memes because we done shared all of mine. Hey, there's a really good documentary about the Grateful Dead that just came out on Netflix. It's actually about Bob Weir. It's called Bob Weir something, something, something. Check it out. It's great. There's also...
So Google Bob Weir is what you're saying?
I'll find out the name of it. So there's also a new biopic. This is mind-blowing. It's a biopic about Steve Jobs that's great, and Steve Jobs is played by Ashton Kutcher, and he totally nails it.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Oh, I've seen it.
Really? It's like 2 years old. It's really good, too. Although... Some people who were like the first 10 employees at Apple looked at it and were asked their opinion on it and were basically like, great movie, best fan fiction I've ever read. Hmm. So it's not entirely accurate, but it's a good movie.
So we were talking about...
Movies don't have to be entirely accurate.
We mentioned Porkfest there and MK... Pork.
Yes.
MK wanted to give a shout out to Buzz.
It's called The Long Strange Trip of Bob Weir. Okay, go ahead with your gay self.
Okay, cool. With my gay self. All right, so Buzz throws this dance party called Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party
every year
at Porkfest. It's
all straight people except Buzz.
Well, yeah, it's a good mix. You don't have to be gay to go or whatever. She's for this, so you can look her up on GoFundMe, Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party, and she's almost at her goal, but she could... But definitely donate, because this is something, you know, I've heard libertarians criticize for. You know, they want to go to things for free and, you know, pay for what you can see. Like, you know, what did you call it earlier, Dobby? Mall Anonymous?
Mall Anonymous? Yeah.
Mall Anonymous.
You should be ashamed of dancing
for what you consume
without paying Buzz.
But yeah, you know, how much do you pay to, like, you know, get into a bar for a cover or something? Well, it's like $5. Toss her $2, $5, you know, $10, whatever. It's the most awesome dance party ever. And if you're going to Porkfest, you will love it because it's amazing. And she builds the whole set. I mean, she puts so much work into this. And, you know, help a sister out.
You know, I need to ring on that.
Give her a shout out because she's working.
I need to ring on that too because I was there. I'm not going to make it this year, but I was there 3 years in a row, and I watched Buzz all 3 years. She gets there early in the week, and she spends all week, every single day, building and working and getting it all ready for that Friday night when they have the dance party. And then she spends like most of the night and the next morning breaking it all down almost entirely by herself. There's a few people that'll help here and there.
Yes.
But mostly she does the whole thing all by herself. It's just a phenomenal amount of work that she gets, you know, that she does out of an act of love. It's not that she's, you know, she's not raking in thousands of dollars to do that. It's labor on her part that she does because she loves.
Yes. Yes. So definitely show her some love, because that's going to be the last one if someone doesn't pick it up. So,
well, there's other dance parties there now too. There's like a golf club, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some other ones.
Worms. But we'll all know who the original was.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the original,
you're listening to the Freedom Fiends.
I like
and
Dobby's
I'm beaming better, these words into your cerebellum.
Teddy bear is a nice touch.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, FEENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Meow,
meow, meow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Davi stole my idea.
Oh, no.
It's true.
But he didn't.
Apparently,
he
stole your intellectual.
I don't know what happened.
So, can I put this picture on the internets of your art, or is it proprietary
at this point? I think, why don't you let me crop some piece of it and put it on the internet? Because I don't want to put all the sponsors up yet, since a lot of them, well, I don't know if they're finalized or not.
Well, let's just discuss it, and then people can imagine what it is. So, you made this really cool art for something that's the clean all the things lady, man, who's a lady, holding her coat open like a trench coat, selling things. She's got like a watch, a pair of scissors, a pipe, spray paint pens, pliers, bananas, slingshot, and a teddy bear. Now, is the teddy bear replacing the gun that you were told to take out by the...
There were some things that were in there before that have changed. There used to be a comb that was replaced, and there used to... But that wasn't just to make space.
Comb?
But the thing that that was removed was there was a pistol and a grenade originally, and they were replaced by the teddy bear and the bananas. And so,
yours is funnier stuff by far. Mine is cooler stuff by far. Okay, it's not really mine. Mine is there's a t-shirt. So there's this phrase, macho libertarian flash, which basically means it's an old libertarian party term for like not playing in the system. Like instead of saying, yes, I think we should work within the system, decriminalize marijuana. You know,
it's more like, I'm tired of discussing decriminalizing marijuana. Let's decriminalize heroin and distribute it to elementary school
kids. Yeah, that's the macho libertarian flash answer. It's actually called libertarian macho flash. I misremembered it as macho libertarian flash. And Nima and I, 4 years ago on early Fiends episodes, like started saying this as what we were. And we also actually used the term brutalist to describe that, because we were talking about brutalist architecture, which is the type of architecture that's like FBI buildings. They're these buildings that are they have no windows. They're designed to intimidate you. It's called
Soviet
brutalist architecture.
Apartments.
Well, it's the kind of architecture Ayn Rand said was the only rational form of architecture,
yes.
isn't it?
I don't know about
that. Famous?
I thought she liked tall skyscrapers that are like the cathedrals to capitalism.
I think maybe brutalist architecture was different in her period or something.
Okay, so we coined that term, and then like Jeffrey Tucker picked that up later to insult people like Chris Cantwell. And here's the thing, like Cantwell took macho libertarian flashism.
He absorbs insults. That's what he does with
them.
No, he
turned it into something that was different. Like our thing is, yeah, you just say what you mean, but you're not trying to hurt people. His version of it is that plus trying to hurt people. That's his brutalism. So anyway, we had this term macho libertarian flash, and Nima one time, or I think it was Lou, said he was a macho libertarian flasher. And then this guy recently, Anthony Lopez Vito, not to be confused with Anthony Lopez, who's another Fiend fan who's like 18 and lives like 5 miles from where I grew up. And like we talked him out of joining the Air Force, which I think is like I can turn my Bobcat badge over for the year for that one. That's so cool. So so Anthony Lopez Vito lives in London, and he made this art that's a silhouette of a guy holding a trench coat open, flashing. And then he and I thought of all these things to put in it. He did most of them, but I did a couple of them. It's like it's coins, a camera, a bottle of moonshine with three S, Bitcoin, pills, a joint, a pot leaf, a rifle, and a microphone. You know, it's not as funny as Dobby's, but it's stuff I'd rather buy than the stuff Dobby's got.
It's pretty
selling.
Flashy.
Yeah, but
pretty much a flash.
So Dobby subconsciously, I think, copied this or was influenced by it, but doesn't know that he did. It was really subconscious because he remembers seeing my image or Anthony and my image and didn't know what it was. He thought it was a building or a moth or something, right?
Yeah, I did not understand. I did not see the trench coat when I saw this. And so, like, it is entirely subconscious.
You know, the Fiends are kind of a collective. I hate the term collective or collectivism, but I think that you could be an anarcho-capitalist collective, too.
Sure.
In a way. Definitely.
But we don't share all of our money and work. But, you know, with ideas, I think we are a collective. Like,
sure.
No one really knows who. People ask me who made up stuff, and I'm like, I don't know, me, Nima, who knows, MK, like Ben, I don't know.
It just percolated up from the cesspool, that's what happened.
Yep. Yeah.
The worms pool.
The worms pool. Yeah.
Macho Flash a thing before
libertarian? So at
least Dobby
didn't.
No, it was libertarian macho flash, and it's a term from the 70s that was made up by someone in the Libertarian Party to denigrate that kind of action. It was an essay. It's online somewhere. Someone typed it up, put it on. It's libertarian macho flash, not macho libertarian flash. So in quotes, libertarian macho flash. And it's basically, it was an article saying we can't do this libertarian macho flash. We'll lose hearts and minds. We have to give the softer version, the work within the system version of liberty. It was a pussy A article.
You know, that was a big debate among Libertarian Party types back in the throughout the 80s, really, that I was involved with on a local level in California, was this idea that, you know, how far do we take this? Do we just discuss about whether or not you should stop at a stop sign at 3 o'clock in the morning and there's nobody in the intersection and it's not, you know, there's nothing immoral about cruising through a stop sign? Shall we leave it at that, or do we take it right to the extent and say, no, anybody who wants to buy a bazooka should be able to buy a bazooka at a grocery store right next to the Apples, you know? And there
of course
was,
they should.
Yeah, but there was a lot of discussion about that. And I felt if we're going to be honest, and I don't want to be anything other than honest, if we're going to be honest, we need to be clear about who we are and what we believe and not try to, you know, get it all milky
soften it.
Yeah, and that just disgusted me.
Well, you know, there's another point of why to take it to the extent. It's a bargaining tool. Like, if you want absolute liberty, you're not going to get close to it by asking for less than it or demanding less than it.
Right. Yeah. So I think that this was Rothbard, but it could have been one of these other pioneers. But he said essentially, say things politely, say things intelligently, but concede no ground.
Yeah, those guys use the word anarchist without apology, too. But they're like people with bow ties you'd have over to meet your parents. Right. You know?
So what this discussion reminds me of is this article I read on Fee that was talking about the difference between movement and the remnant. So the remnant is this idea that you hear sometimes in a religious context, like there's a small group of believers and they hold true to some of the most, you know, principled parts of the theology, or in this case, philosophy. And it differs from movements in that the remnant is there to preserve the principles. And, you know, that would kind of be the macho libertarian brutalist flash thing. It's like, you know, the hardcore principles, heroin should be legal, all of these things should be legal. And then there's more like movementarians that are like, well, we need to appeal to the masses. We need to kind of maybe, some would call it watering down the message, but others may call it, you know, let's just appeal to, you know, different people, more mainstream people. And that's why I don't say I'm in any kind of movement, because I don't really align with trying to make some of these ideas super popular and appealing to, you know, mainstream people, because I don't really care, I guess. Like, I don't know. It's more of like a principle-based thing for me. So I thought it was an interesting article. I recommend everyone read it, especially if they've been kind of confused or like disappointed in kind of the larger libertarian movement. Because you see these discussions happen all the time.
What's the article?
It's the future or the let me find it.
Fee.org. Feature of economic, which is actually the oldest, longest running libertarian organization. They've been around since the late 20s or early 30s. And the guy who runs it is this guy named Max Borders.
Borders.
I thought was a made up like neocon name, but it's his real actual name. Doesn't that sound though like a pundit on Fox News or a superhero from Tea Party?
Yeah.
Max Borders. Which is funny because Max Borders is actually into like minimal or no borders. I've interviewed him.
Arresting officers involved in the Ross Ulbricht trial is named like Frank Force or something.
Force and Bridges. It's like a buddy cop TV cop comedy or something.
And remember, Bridges are part
but so
of
the article
Rhodes.
Is called
Rhodes.
Right. So the article is called The Remnant, An Alternative to Movements. It's by Zachary Slaback. So it's great because there's always going to be that kind of disagreement and that tension between people who are a little more radical with the philosophy and people who are trying to take a philosophy more mainstream.
Yeah.
It applies not just to libertarianism, but to really anything. So check it out. It's really interesting. And I think it can bring some clarity to
I don't feel any need to compromise because I'm confident other people will do that in my place.
Right, exactly, right.
You know, another thing the Freedom Fiends really are, I think, is we are like the polite, fun, uncompromising. Like, we never soften it down. We never say, well, yes, I think you should work within the system. It's my stapler, yes. You know, we're just like, yeah, man, anarchy, everything should be legal. You know, to the point where, like, I
requested no salt, and they were huge mountains of
almost,
salt.
I'm almost shocked at headlines. Like, you know, like, MK, like, this polite lady, MK, is like, well, and I wrote this article called, you know, when should you blow up the prison to get your friends out? Come on, man.
That's the exact name of it, actually. I'm going to change the title right now.
Yeah.
We're kidding. And
the first
Ben's
one
like,
wasn't
well,
enough.
If you're going to break into an FBI field office, you need an exit strategy. I'm like, Ben, you didn't really say that or mean that.
You know what I like,
though? It's kind of like on Spinal Tap. They say, like,
just
you know, we don't say we love our brother. I mean, we don't actually mean love our brother, but, you know, we don't say.
The thing I like, though, is this imagery from Breaking Bad, where they have this giant recycling magnet from a scrap yard in the back of a truck, and they pull up next to the police station next to the room that has all the evidence in it, and they crank that magnet up and wipe out all the evidence that's on the laptop that's inside the evidence room. And I just think, you know, what would that be like if you had that to drive around with one of those, and you just drive into like a police checkpoint, and you just drive past one of the police cars and just kind of crank it up and lower it back down again. And
well, the funny thing is, too, the government has things like that, supposedly. I mean, they have,
yeah,
they definitely have. It's a fact that they have vans they drive around cities that X-ray you in your car.
Right, right.
Which is like could give you cancer. I mean, I'm not even like going with the conspiracies that they have a give you cancer gun, which they might. But they drive around with panel trucks that X-ray your car looking for weapons and drugs. And in the process, yeah, they're exposing you to like
uncontrollable
amounts.
It's
unethical.
Yeah.
It's unethical, even if it's safe, because it is basically, it's giving you a medical procedure without your consent or knowledge.
They put me under a lead blanket when they X-ray at the dentist. So yeah, I have a feeling that maybe there is something worth considering as far as public health.
It's probably illegal to walk. It's probably illegal some places to wear a lead bib in public. Then they can't spy on you and see what's under your shirt and in your panties.
Panties. Worms. Panties.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes,
you guys,
we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says Worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Chased Michael away during the break. He was
yeah.
He ran away.
We were going to talk radical
got
stuff.
Got too hot in the kitchen for him.
Yeah, just too square. The Freedom Fiends.
So I have
yeah,
a. I had an
we're
idea.
Too flashy.
I had an idea on a way of discouraging government participation. So we were talking about dentists, right? And they put a lead bib on you when you get your X-ray. And I don't know about you guys, but in California, they have a thing on the building that says this building has been identified by such and such California EPA, whatever, as containing cancer causing whatever. And like every building everywhere has one of these signs because the list of things that are potentially cancer causing are so numerous and unscientific that now the signs don't mean anything because they're everywhere. But say, for example, like this is common in California, but if this happened in like Utah, it might cause someone pause, right? If they like were going into a post office and there was a sign on the outside that said this building contains known cancer causing agents, right? So suppose that you made a very official looking plaque laser engraved into coroplast or something, and you went and you actually bolted it to the wall outside of government buildings, and you like put random like US code EPA signature at the bottom. How many people would seeing that, how many bureaucrats would seeing that assume that it was official and not contest it? And how long would it stay there subtly freaking people out about going into the building?
That's the kind of activism
I don't know,
that
it could
really
go,
love. Go ahead.
I think people might just walk right past it because it's so official looking. They may not even stop to read it because people don't commonly read signs that are clearly on doors or windows or outside of businesses. This happens so often. Especially if you ever worked anywhere where there was a sign thing, it's amazing how few people read that.
And, it's like the signs, you know, on the side of the highway.
So I don't even think they would notice it.
here in Alabama, where
like the
I'm
speed
at,
limit, everyone ignores those
crazy signs. Here in Alabama, they're one of the counties that we stay in sometimes when we're moving from campground to campground. One of the counties has these little triangle. They're not like the standard freeway ones, but they're county specific. And it's just a triangle sign that says, use caution. And for no reason. And it's not like on a dangerous curve or a dangerous intersection. It's just randomly beside a county road. Use caution. Why? What does that mean? Like, I'm driving down the road, and one day I thought, you know what? I think I'm just going to close my eyes and drive with my eyes closed. And then I see the sign that says, use caution. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'll keep eyes open. So signs,
you know. Driving thing.
But I like that kind of activism. I like that kind of thinking that Davi is good for.
So, but you guys, do you have signs like this? I don't think that you have these signs in other places.
No, they're maybe New York.
Yeah, I see them on things like Get Here, but it's like for Californians, like incense or something. All of the incense.
All right, so I've got it open. So let me read this to you. This is called a Proposition 65 warning, and it says chemicals known to the state of California to cause cancer and reproductive toxicity, including chemical name, are present in coffee, baked goods, and other foods or beverages sold here. Personal cancer risk is affected by a wide variety of factors. The FDA has not advised people to stop drinking coffee or eating baked goods that contain this chemical. And then there's a website. Like, this is an example. You see these on virtually every building in California, and so nobody takes them seriously. But if it said this on, like, a post office in Ohio, would it cause a little trepidation?
I still have to go with, I just don't think people are that aware of signs sometimes. Not on the highway, but like on buildings and stuff. I mean, it's a pretty common thing to overlook, especially.
What about a warning? Reading this sign is a federal offense. If you see anyone reading this sign, please report them to the appropriate authorities.
And then have small print.
If you read something, say something.
Yeah. You have to get real close and look at the small print to find out what the phone number is to call to report it.
Yeah.
This
is a real sign. I've seen this on vending machines. There's a sign on a vending machine, some vending machines, that says this sign is here according to federal statute whatever and is obligated to be on all vending machines. If this sign is not present on this vending machine, call this number. Do not call this number for service related to the vending machine.
What we have here is a problem with logic. This is a problem with logic. And if you don't see this,
it doesn't say anything else on the sign. Like, so there's a sign. There's a law that says, you know what? Vending machines don't have enough signs. So we need to pass a law mandating a minimum quota of signs on vending machines for reasons.
There should also be signs outside of prison saying, you're not allowed to break people out of here. That'll really deter people.
Yeah, how would we know otherwise?
From doing that awful thing.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to break them out of jail. There wasn't a sign.
There was
warning,
no sign.
Warning, do not free the prisoners.
Oh, do not prisoners.
What a way to
They'll
end the show.
They'll just become dependent on you if you do that.
That's true. If you give a man a fish, if you give a man freedom, if you break him out of prison, make him break himself out of prison. What a lazy bum. We're not welfare libertarians. Break yourself out of prison, you bum.
That's right. Welfare queens.
Here's a spoon. Dig yourself out. Come on, Ross. Get out of prison.
What's with the freedom entitlement in this country?
Yeah.